Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're a participant in Anthony Gormley's new art project One and Other at Trafalgar Square in London. The date today is the 20th of July 2009 and if I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
Alice Margaret Rose Grundy. My date of birth is the 17th of September 1971 and I'm from Liverpool.
Okay. And you're from Liverpool, is that where you live now?
Yeah.
And how are you today?
I'm fine, quite excited, a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Good. You've got an 11 o'clock slot
yeah.
this morning on a Monday. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, quite relieved that it was a daytime slot, better than a nighttime slot. So, I'd say hopefully there won't be too many people watching me, but it'd be nice to have a few.
Great. And if I can just take you back to when you first heard about the project and what it was about it that appealed to you.
I remember seeing it sort of, it must have been towards the back end of last year or early this year. I just remember seeing something in the newspaper of the fact that Gormley had been awarded the use of the plinth. And I just thought it sounded like a really cool idea. So I went onto the website then and checked it out and that, and you were able to register your details. So when the next thing kind of happened, you'd get notified. So I just thought it was a really cool idea to be a part of if I was that lucky. And here I am.
Yeah. Brilliant. And now that you've got legs
yep.
and here you are about to go up, how did you decide what to do?
Originally when I applied I was never really going to do anything. I'm not somebody who sort of bangs a drum for a cause or anything like that. I would have been quite happy to just sort of sit on the corner and read a book and just take it in. But my friend, one of my good friends, her sister works for a charity in the Northwest called Nugent Care, and she just asked would I mind if they use the space, not for collecting of any money but just to get an awareness, because they're quite a small charity. Any kind of airtime they can get will be great, so I agreed to wear the t-shirt. And what the Marie had a good idea of, let's see what we can get Alice to do on the plinth. So I emailed back and said I wasn't really very keen on that idea at all, but my sister-in-law came up with an idea of what about doing messages to people. So the whole point is, and I've got a couple of boards that are going up on the plinth, if they go to the Nugent Care website they can basically say would you like a message from the plinth. So Marie's going to email me anybody who requests a message and I'm just going to write it on a whiteboard and speak it out. And then, as I say, it's all about getting traffic onto the website rather than sort of raising funds. So we're just going to do that, and as I say, one more person we can get onto the website who's aware of it, the better.
Yeah. And what does the charity do?
It's a community-based charity. They have volunteer community teams who work with learning disabilities, deaf and sort of hard of hearing people in the community, and it's just, I suppose it's just a charity that tries to help people who aren't able to help themselves a little more. They have various sort of care centres where if people have had their homes burnt out or something like that and they've been left with nothing, they can go and get care packs and stuff. So it's sort of just a nice sort of charity kind of thing. And they don't, with them only being small, they don't get the same level of airtime as some of the national charities do.
Yeah. And whereabouts in the Northwest are they based?
They're centralised in Liverpool, but they do reach out all over the Northwest, across Manchester and into all the other places out in the Northwest too.
And would you like to say the website address?
Yeah, it's www.nugentcare.org.
Okay.
I think.
And could you spell Nugent?
Nugent.
And what does it mean for you personally to stand on the fourth plinth?
As I said before, I just think I like the idea of having historical captures of normal people, because you've got your things like Big Brothers and stuff, which, are a certain type of people, and I think something like the fourth plinth really appeals because you're not required to do anything, you're not required to entertain anybody. It's the ability for you to do in an hour what you would normally just do in your life, possibly maybe just condensed. And I think that's what appeals about it to me, is that there's no prescriptive rules about what you must do or what you can't do. it's literally, these are members of, you know, the UK at this point in time, and this is what they do. And I just think that's a really clever thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you do in a normal day?
I'm a project manager with an outsourcing company, so I tend to, you know, sort of bring new clients into the business and assess people. It's quite a responsible job, and you know, you sort of, you know, non-stop go all the time and just very, very busy. So again, just being able to take time out, I've used it as an excuse to come to my capital city with a friend for a couple of days and do sightseeing, which, you know, everybody moans that people don't go and do their own country, and so it was good to have the excuse to do that as well. So
yeah.
It's just been a really good experience all round.
Yeah, good. What's an outsourcing company?
Basically, my company Vertex, most people will never ever have heard of. However, we run contracts for other big clients. So if you phone somebody or write a letter to somebody like a mortgage company or a utilities company, quite often we will run that part of the business for them. So basically, what the big companies tend to do now is concentrate on what they do best. So, you know, making sure that water pipes are taken care of, but their customer service side of things they tend to outsource. So we tend to deal with a lot of that kind of activity. It's quite dull from that perspective, but from, you know, it's quite a busy, hectic environment from another, because obviously the reason you outsource is because it's cheaper and they do it quicker and everything else. So it's quite a buzz sort of industry to be in.
How did you get into that?
By default. I'd been made redundant from another company I used to work over in Sheffield. Got made redundant from there. Didn't know quite what I wanted to do, and they had some temp jobs going on the floor on the phones, and I applied for one of those as part of one of the Crispus ramp-ups, and that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And just worked my way through doing stuff. But it's been fantastic. I've been out to America with them for 6 months. I'm due off to India in 3 weeks' time. There's opportunities in Abu Dhabi, South Africa, Canada. So it's a really good company to work for, so I enjoy it.
Good. And you grew up in Liverpool.
Yes.
Could you just say a little bit about what it's like to grow up in Liverpool?
I mean, in honesty, I was actually born in Manchester originally, and my dad's job meant we moved to Liverpool when I was 8, but I don't really remember much about being in Manchester apart from the house. Growing up in Liverpool, one of the biggest things I remember is moving it from Manchester. Within 2 weeks, my mum always said I'd got a worse Liverpool accent than all of my friends, because I obviously went that extra mile to fit in. I mean, growing up in Liverpool, you didn't really, I suppose when you're growing up, you just accept where it is that you are. It's only when you sort of get older, you realise what a fantastic city, you know, that it is that you come from, and, you know, what gems of stuff they've got. And, you know, the capital of country and everything last year, you know, went to show that. But as I say, I don't think it was any different growing up in Liverpool to anywhere else. I enjoyed my childhood and had a fantastic time. And now you're at this age, you think, oh, could I not go back and do it again? It was so much easier when you didn't have to pay bills.
What do you remember about your house in Manchester?
We had fabulous purple walls, and I now have a major attraction to anything purple. My dad painted our hall stairs and landing this really deep purple colour. I just thought it was fabulous, but that's probably about the biggest thing I remember.
And one of the questions that we asked to all the participants is, what's important to you in your life at the moment?
Being happy is one of the biggest things. I'm gonna get upset now. My mum died last year, and she lived her life to make sure we were happy. And I think everybody has to make sure you never do anything that makes you unhappy, because it's not worth it. You've got to get up in the morning, and you've got to do the best you can do, and if it's not making you happy, get out and go and find what is. And I think that's what's, you know, family, friends, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Oh. It's all right. No, I am fine, and honestly, you know, my mum was ill and she's better off out of it, because I wouldn't wish that on anybody, and all of us are quite happy with it, but, you know, just every now and again. But that's what makes you remember to, you know, do what's important to you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, because life's too short. You know, she spent her whole life working and looking after me and my brother, you know, and, you know, lost her life at the age of 63 when it meant she didn't have that, you know, ability to enjoy what potentially she was planning on enjoying. So you've got to do it while you can.
Yeah.
Live your life.
It's all
right.
Never get over something like that.
And I'll say that, and I think that's the thing, you know, don't get stuck in it and don't get depressed by it. You know, getting upset by it's fine, because that's normal emotion. But use it as a positive and just, and hopefully that's what I'm going to do.
So with your slot today, have you got any hopes or fears about standing on the plinth, or expectations?
I'm glad it's not windy, because it was a bit windy yesterday, so I was flapping about that. No, I don't think so. As I say, you've got your normal fears of, you know, I hope somebody doesn't throw anything at you or something stupid like that. But no, I'm just really quite excited just to be a part of history, which is what I see it as being. I think it's really good. Whatever happens, I haven't really set myself any expectations of it. I'm just quite happy to get up there, do my hour, and come back down and say I was part of that.
who are you doing this for, did you
say? Oh, I'm doing it for me, because when I got my name, when I was that thing on the 1st of June, I was sort of telling me close, I said, oh, I've got my place on the plinth, and most people just went, what? I said, come on. So everybody now who's connected to me knows exactly what the plinth is about. And as I say, I'm just doing it for me. I'm wearing a Nugent Care t-shirt and everything, because it's an ideal opportunity for them to maybe get some airtime. But principally, I'm just doing it to be part of it, because I just think it's a really cool idea.
Brilliant. What impact do you think it's
going to
have?
I think most people think it's a bit stupid and can't see the point. They're Neanderthals, in my opinion. I hope there's some people maybe who maybe want to properly fight for a cause, maybe get that cause heard more for their own self-satisfaction, really, than the cause itself. I just think if somebody's got a particular aim or a mission to want to try and do, I hope that they manage to achieve it. I think in most cases, people are kind of just, oh, well, you know, what's the point of them? And, you know, it's just stupid. And I don't know whether there's a reason to it. As I say, for me, there isn't a reason behind it. It's just something that is. So people will make of it what they choose to make of it, as they do with all art, I suppose.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I think that's the point. It's, again, it's not supposed to be doing anything, so to speak. So everybody should take their own interpretation of it away with them.
Yeah. And you said you've come down to London for the weekend,
yeah,
with your friend. Have you been to London before?
Yeah, I've been quite a few times with work, where you never get to see anything at all. The last time I was properly a tourist was when I was at university. I did a couple of weekends. I was at Coventry Uni, so we popped down for a couple of weekends to do stuff. And then previous to that, when I was a kid, when we came once with the family and stuff, so it's been good to go. Been off to the Tower of London, seen the Crown Jewels again, and, you know, done the open tour bus stuff and all, you know, proper tourist stuff. It's been really good. Really good time.
Good. Have you got plans are you going to go back to Liverpool today?
Yeah, we're back off on Liverpool today. The friend who's come with me, she's got three small children who've been left with the husband, and it's their leaving. One of the kids moves from little school to big school this year, so it's the leaving service, so we've got to be back so she can go and see that and cry over her kids, bless.
You said you went to Coventry University.
Yeah.
What did you study?
Manufacturing and Business Studies. Just wide-ranging stuff. And when I left university, went first off into the plastics industry. To the plastics industry for about 6 years, and then manufacturing in England took a slight turn for the worst, and that's when I've kind of moved out into the customer service side of things.
Yeah. How did you find that? What was that like from the industry, from the inside?
I love manufacturing. I love taking something and turning it into something else, whatever that may be. And plastic to me is the ultimate in that, because you literally have little grains or dust, and at the end of a production line you've got a bin or a piece of a car or whatever. I just think the whole process of manufacturing just is, it's just a great process to be involved in, and making sure that, you know, what's turned out is good, and, you know, the constraints you've got, and trying to make things better. It's, as a process engineer, that's why I just get quite sad about things like that. I'm just looking at a process and trying to make it better and improve it.
Yeah. And what was it like with the if you can remember, kind of, was it a lot of industries closing down?
Yeah, I mean, our industry, my particular factory, got closed because they bought a plant in Eastern Europe because it was cheaper, and shipped all the work out there. So I had to close a factory in Sheffield, which, you know, was tough. I had, you know, grown men in there crying in front of me. They'd already been through it once with the mines shutting. They thought they'd got a second wind, and then you were doing it to them again, you know, and it wasn't great. And, you know, I look at my life now, and I'm potentially doing the same with things like India and South Africa in the business I'm in. I'm taking processes from this country to other countries because of the cost basis. And I think that's just the way of the world's going to move now, with the global element of everything being so much closer. I don't see how we're going to avoid that. What we have to make sure we do in the UK is make sure that we have some kind of differentiator, or we're able to keep building on what's unique about the UK, so we do keep certain elements here in this country, because otherwise it will lose out, being such a small country.
Thank you very much for that. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so. I'd just like to thank everybody involved, because I just think it's a fantastic opportunity for everybody who's going to be one of the 2,400, and hopefully it'll be as good as I think it's going to be.
Thank you very much.
No problem.